bless the preaching of the word today, that you will bless the hearing, and that you will prepare the hearts. May we go out loving you, serving you, worshiping you in a closer relationship than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, have you ever noticed when you go reading through the Bible that sometimes you get the sections of the scripture that you just kind of go over and start reading words and it flies right through your head? You know exactly what it's saying, but you're not really concentrating anymore. Sometimes we talk about the genealogies that way. Well, is this important? It was important because God had it important for the Jewish nation, but it's important for the Christian nation. God put it in the Bible for a reason. Then we get to things like Proverbs. You get into reading every day, and by the time you get to the 17th and 18th verses of the chapter, you're like, you're reading the words, but there's so many different thoughts swinging around. It's not a constant one thought, and you're starting to read the words not really what you're supposed to. I'm doing that in Joshua. I'm reading through it right now through how they divided the land. This is important for the Jews, but how important is it for the Christians? Well, I'm getting to a portion today of Scripture that we have a tendency to neglect. I'm going to be looking at the last five chapters of the book of Psalms. By the time you get through verses chapter 119, the real long one, and then the short chapters in the 130s, you get into 150, oh, we're finally done, and your mind stops concentrating the way it does at the beginning of the Psalms. I just want to go through, and I'm going to start by just reading the first verse of each chapter, starting at Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Chapter 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Are you getting a theme here? Praise ye the Lord. Aside from our salvation and worshiping God and accepting him as our Savior, this may be the greatest part of our life. This may be what God wants more from us than anything else. You go back to the Westminster Catechism. It says, what's the purpose of man? To glorify God. How do you glorify him? You praise him. Praise ye the Lord. First of all, what's praise? Not just praise the Lord. When we're praising somebody, what does it mean? Why do we praise somebody? Why do you praise them? Number one, maybe because of something they've done, their accomplishments. You may praise somebody for inventing a medicine that cures a disease. You may praise somebody, not necessarily the best example, for being able to dunk a basketball. You may praise somebody for just getting good grades in school and doing the very best they can. But praise is something that is earned. Praise is earned respect. And it's given for past accomplishments. In God's case, we can give it for future accomplishments too, because we know what he's going to be doing. We know he's going to be going on forever and eternal. But you praise him for his deeds. There's another thing you praise people for sometimes is their earned authority. You respect somebody and give them the praise because they led you through a difficult time. They led you through a crisis. Now, they get authority out of that. Why? I'll follow him because of what he has done in the past. Moses never had a title, but the Israelites followed him without question. Why? Because he had earned the authority by his actions themselves. Now, there's a danger here because there's a difference between praise and flattery. Sometimes you hear the right words, but they don't mean anything because it's not praise at all, it's flattery. What's the difference between those two things? Praise is honest respect and love for seeing what somebody's done. Flattery is something you do, I've got to say these words because it happens to be my boss or it happens to be somebody. And you're saying it because you have to do it, but you don't really believe it. And often you're saying it in order to get something back. God doesn't want flattery. God wants genuine praise for what he has accomplished and done in our lives. Now, as I go through this, the first thing I do when I'm going to try to preach out of the Old Testament and say is saying, okay, I know that Old Testament commands are not necessarily New Testament commands. What we're looking for in the Old Testament is principle that applies to all ages and especially to our age. The principles behind the words, not the words themselves. I can honestly say that praising the Lord is a principle throughout the whole Bible. It's a principle that applies to us today as much as it applied to the Old Testament saints and the Jews at the time David was writing these things. So we're going to take a look at praising the Lord today. And the first of all, what I'm going to ask is, who is to be praised? The answer is the Lord. The Lord, what does the word mean, Lord? It means ruler. This man, I follow because he is my ruler. And he's my ruler because I love him. Not only because of his position. Now, he has the right to be the ruler of everyone. The Lord created every single individual. And there is a time when we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's going to happen. But when it's talking about praising the Lord here, the Lord is our ruler because we love him. And we want to follow him. But the Lord is also our protector. As part of his ruling over us, it is his responsibility to protect us. It's his responsibility to protect the Jews and his Christians. And he told us he would do so. He deserves praise and glory and honor for the way he's accomplishing those things. We deserve to praise him for what he does and how he takes care of us. We deserve to praise him for being the ruler. So we need to praise the Lord. But there's something else. We need to praise the Lord. We don't believe in this church that you can worship whatever God you want, and in the end, if you really believe, you're going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is one Lord and one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. It is the Lord. One and only one being deserves our praise. And it is because He is the Lord. He is many of the things that I'm going to go over in just a minute. He's our protector. He's also God. God made flesh. In verse 150 it says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary." God and the Lord are put equal there. We are praising the God of heaven. Not one of many, the singular God of heaven. So why is God, the Lord, to be praised? First of all, we praise Him for His actions. We have to look and see, this is what God has done. And in these verses, of course, these verses aren't going to be comprehensive, but they're going to have a lot of the things that we need to praise God for. You start off, we praise God for His creation. Psalm 146, let's look at verse 6. "God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." But then we go to verse number, our chapter 148, verses 5 and 6. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass." We go back to the great act. God is the Creator. He is to be praised because without Him we wouldn't even be here. Neither would anything else. God spoke, and the world came into being. God spoke the heavens, the stars, the planets. Everything came into being. God spoke. Life occurred. God spoke. The earth was divided into seas and dry land. God spoke, and man became a living soul. He breathed into him the Spirit. Man became eternal, and man became capable of worshiping God. We are to praise Him for being the Lord of creation. We're to praise Him for His judgment. 146 verses 7 through 9. It says, "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God." So we are to love the Lord for His judgments, for His holiness, for His righteousness. We're to love the Lord because He alone is righteous. He alone sets a standard for us as Christians, for the world, for everything else, that is so high that it is unattainable without God's help. What other God of any other religion has standards that high and holy and precious? We are to praise the Lord because His judgments are righteous and holy forever. And they're not because he's all powerful and can make you do them whether you like it or not. They're holy and righteous because they are morally pure. And that is because that's who God is and that's how he made it. No other being, man, angel, or anyone else can meet that standard. God is worthy of praise for his judgment. God is worthy of praise for his protection. Now, David was writing this about the protection that he gives to Israel, but God protects us as well. But it says in chapter 147, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." In 147, verse number 6, it says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." And in verses 12 through 14 of that chapter, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of wheat." God, one of his jobs, I said, is to be praised because he's our protector. But he does the protecting. How in the world can a nation like Israel, which is 70 A.D., was destroyed and scattered throughout the world and had no government, be recreated in 1949? 1900 years later, and the people are still one people because they kept the word and they kept their genealogy and they kept themselves pure. I don't care how holy and righteous mankind is, that's not going to happen unless God does it. He protected Israel even while they were scattered throughout the entire earth. And he collected them back. God protects Israel today. Oh, they've got their armies and everything. But they are a small nation and everybody around them hates them. And every time their prime minister makes a decree, everybody condemns them, including us now, sometimes now. Hey, you know what they care about? What does God want? God promised us the earth. God promised us we would rule. All we want to do is survive. And we're going to do everything in our hand. We don't care what man says. We're going to do what God says. And that's the way Israel has to look at themselves. But God protects the Christians. I mean, even in this world today, the worst that the people being persecuted in the Middle East and people being persecuted in Asia and people being persecuted up in Russia and the Ukraine, Christians being persecuted from their faith, the worst that can be happen to them is you can kill them and send them to heaven. What greater protection is there than to know that our eternal destiny is to spend eternity with God, living with him, praising him, and serving him? We cannot be destroyed as individuals. God is protecting us in his hand, and he's got a place in heaven reserved for us. We will not be destroyed as a faith, as a religion, as Christians serving God, saved by His grace, because God promises in His Word that we are still going to be around when the rapture occurs. As a matter of fact, God is saying that it's because we are around that the world hasn't turned as evil as it's going to during the tribulation, because we're the ones that are setting the standards and preventing the evil from coming into this world. Maybe not always by our actions, but by our prayers and by our presence. We are fully protected by God. But we also have God's daily care for us. Not only is He protecting the unity of Christians, but God provides for us on a daily basis. He provides the air we breathe. Yes, He does it for the heathen as well. He provides our food, our drinks, our clothing, our shelter. Yes, He does it for the world as well. But do you realize that this world is held together by the word and power of Jesus Christ? That if He, for one moment, lets loose, the whole world would fly apart and dissolve? If you look at the structure of an atom, there is no reason for it to stay together. Either the electrons are going to collapse right into the neutron, or they're going to fly off into complete nonsense and you have only the neutron. Creation itself is just held together by God. And the way He may put things together and the way He cares for them on a daily basis. God says in 147, verses 14 through 18, He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. We've had enough of that. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow and the waters to flow. And the waters flow. God gives us daily care. He says, give us this daily, our daily bread. And that's what God does for us. He takes care of us on a daily basis. But there's something very, very special that God did for us. And for the Jews. Looking for 147 again, verses 19, 20. He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. God gave us His word. Without the Bible, who are we going to worship? Without the Bible, how do we know what's going to happen? Without the Bible, how do we know that Jesus came to save us? Without the Bible, how do we know God? God gave to us His Word. The Old Testament to the Jews, the New Testament to the Christians, our forefathers. But God provided and gave to us His Word. He deserves praise for revealing Himself to us. He didn't have to do that. He wanted us to understand Him. He wanted us to know Him, because to know Him is to love Him. God gave us His Word. He deserves praise for this book. The depth, the veracity, the power of His Word in our lives. That's why He needs to be praised. He also needs to be praised for His attributes. Now, His attributes, very few of them are actually found in these words, in these Psalms. It talks more about His actions than His attributes. But you know His holiness, His mercy, His grace, His power, His eternity, all are things we need to praise Him for. His unchangeableness. We don't have a God that changes His mind the next day. We let our politicians do that. But God stands on His Word. He says, this is what I want, and He is holy, and He is faithful. He, because of His attributes, and because of the steadfastness, the way He exhibits those attributes to us, and for us, and through us, needs to be praised. He deserves to be praised. Okay. But who's to praise Him? Who is supposed to praise Him? Well, if we look at Psalm 148, verse number 2, it says, praise Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. The angels, the spiritual beings, the hosts of heaven, are to praise God. They were here before the world was created, by the way. They are to praise God from all eternity. And they actually had the choice. Satan chose not to. Satan and some and his followers chose not to follow God, not to praise Him. Satan decided, hey, I'm as good as God. Didn't work out well. He's still fighting the battle, but he knows he's going to lose it. All his angels know they're going to lose it. Instead of falling back down and worshiping God and saying, hey, okay, we were wrong, they get mad. And you see the wrath of Satan when he's thrown down to earth during the tribulation period. But God commands His angels and His hosts to worship Him and praise Him. Creation itself is to praise Him. The same Psalm 148, verses 3 through 6. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. That's not the waters of earth. That's the waters of the flood. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. God says, the heavens, what we see in the sky, the orderliness of the way the planets and the stars work together, the very multitude of the stars, and the fact that God says He can name every single one of them, they need to praise God. And they do. But instead of accepting that as reason to praise God, man looks at it and says, they are my God. And we come up with astrology and your horoscopes. That is an insult to God. The stars were put in place to show the great glory and majesty and order of God. And they are to praise Him in their place. The earth is to praise God. Verses 7 through 10 of that chapter, of chapter 148. Praise ye the Lord, from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Excuse me. The earth is to praise God. Well, isn't that just part of his creation, just like the stars and the moon? No, there's a big difference between the earth and the heavens. The earth has been cursed. With the fall of Adam, God cursed the earth. But even though the earth has been cursed, and the animals have to forage for food, and the animals kill one another, and there is enmity between the different types of beasts, and sometimes between the different types of plants, they are all still to worship God. Following under his displeasure does not exempt you from worshiping him and praising him. We may sometimes sin and know, hey, God's blessing isn't deserved on our part. But it is still our job, even though we are in a cursed earth until the return of Jesus Christ during the millennial period, we are still to praise God during this time. This time of history, God deserves praise for what he did on the earth, for his creations on the earth, for the way he's put things together, and the way he's protected things together. The heathen are supposed to praise God. Verses 11 through 13. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. When it says kings, he's not talking only about Jewish kings. He is talking about the rulers of the nations. God exalteth the nation that praises and serves him. But a nation that abandons him comes under his curse. The nations, even though they don't want to bind themselves under God's authority, under the Lord's authority, they are still established to praise God. And you will find, even among heathen nations, that there are rules of conduct among the people of those nations based on the Ten Commandments of the Jews. They have that same basis because it's a basis of righteousness. It's a basis of living that if you abandon them, you're going to end up with chaos. That doesn't mean they do it in all times and in all ways. We have kings. We have leaders that defy God, that build rules that are against him. But even in when they're turning against him, they're showing his own glory and power. We have kings that say it's okay to support terrorism. We have kings and leaders that say it's okay to kill unborn babies. But the nations whose laws exemplify God and follow God ends up more prosperous than those that defy God and reject him. And every time you reject God, your nation goes downhill. The heathen are to praise God. As a matter of fact, there will be a day when every knee shall bow. The heathen are responsible. But above all, his saints are to praise God. Psalm 149, the entire psalm talks about the saints in David's day Israel, but by principle us, are responsible for praising God. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the Christians rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name and dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. God wants his saints, the saints of the Old Testament, the Jews, the saints of our time, the Christians, to praise him. We are the ones that God has put on this earth to sing his praises so that the whole world can see Jesus Christ through us. God does not send his angels to preach the gospel. God puts creation out there to show he exists. He puts the earth together in such a way to show his existence and his power and his majesty and his beauty. But when it comes time to preach the gospel, to praise God for what he's done in saving our soul from eternal hellfire and preserving us onto eternity in heaven, the only people, the only beings that God has to do that are you and me and other redeemed people of the earth. He has given us a job. He wants our praise. There's a reason David was called a man after God's own heart. And Solomon was called the wisest man on earth. Solomon wrote the Psalms. David wrote the Psalms, and the Psalms continually, let me praise God, praise ye the Lord. It's the theme throughout the Psalm, the binding theme. David is after God's own heart because he praised God in everything, in every way. His saints are responsible for praising him. How do we praise him? If it's our job, how do we do it? If you look through these five Psalms, almost every time God says, praise him, he's got music involved. Sing a new song. Use the cymbals. Use the trembles. Use the instrument of 10 strings. Music is center to praising God. And that means our music has got to be right. God didn't say, praise God upon the bass guitar. God says, praise God with the instruments, including percussion instruments, that will bring glory and harmony into our praise. We're to praise him in dance, it says. We're to praise him in song. But God wants us to be constantly having a song of praise in our heart for him. We should go through life working on building that song in our hearts. We're to praise him with joy. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. We're to enjoy praising him. It's not to be a burden put on us. It's not like the IRS is after us to tax us for praise. We are to enjoy praising God. We're supposed to do it with joy. Why do we do it with joy? Because we love God. We love the one we're praising. But we're supposed to put joy and thanksgiving and just a uplifting spirit behind our praise. And there's another thing that God actually puts in here in verse 149:7. It says, we're to praise Him with vengeance, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. We are to show vengeance against evil. We're to hate the things that oppose God and to love the things that God loves. Our job is not to sit by passively, even passively and joyfully. Our job is to go out with a vengeance to praise the Lord. The Bible says that the Word of God is powerful and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Have you ever been attacked by a gate? You're walking by and all of a sudden the gate swings open and tries to attack you. Gates in the Old Testament were the bars and the doors, the entrances to the cities. Well, they got the walls surrounding them. Gates were where the people can come in and out. But a gate in the time of attack had one purpose. Not to keep the people in. They weren't going to go out anyway. They didn't want to get out in the middle of their enemies. It was to keep the enemies out. The gates of hell are to keep the Christians away from the people owned by Satan so that they won't hear the gospel. Our praise is to be with a vengeance against those gates so that the people, lost people of this earth, will hear the gospel and can be saved. How do we accomplish it? Well, there's a few things that we can do in our lives. Some of them that I know I have to work on in mine, so I assume that if I have to work on them, there's got to be somebody else in here that has to work on it too. Put praise on our daily to-do list. So often we praise God by accident and not by intention. Put praise on your daily to-do list. Get up in the morning and say, I need to praise God in a special way today. What can I do today to praise God? And sometimes it's just being in your prayer time, and you better be praising God during your prayer time. But God doesn't want only His praise in the prayer time or in the church. He wants us to invent ways to go out and praise Him in the streets, in the world, where He can be seen through us. So you've got to plan your praise. Pastor has a habit, he says, I want you to take 5 tracts and hand them out this week. Well, maybe we need to plan our praise that way. Maybe we need to say, okay, I need to figure out a way to praise God today. Maybe it's just greeting your spouse with a praise the Lord and an extra special prayer to God in the morning. Maybe when you hear somebody using the name of the Lord in vain, instead of ignoring them, or instead of turning on them and attacking them, somebody says, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, isn't He wonderful? He saved my soul. Isn't He wonderful? Just look at the trees, how beautiful they are when they turn green. Isn't this snow beautiful? Instead of letting them just pass unchallenged, turn it around to a praise for God. I'll tell you something. You'll get some looks. You'll get some people that notice you. You'll get some people that are going to be a little more careful next time they're getting ready to use the Lord's name in vain in your presence. But you also get some people that see that you love God and maybe some opportunities to witness to them. Put praise in your daily work and then vary your praise. Do something different. Be inventive. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today that I can praise you in a special way? And then plan to do it. How often do I read, praise ye the Lord, and just read over the words and don't even care? It doesn't put any impression on me at all. We all need to put praise in our daily work, in our daily life, in our inner soul so that it comes out. And may the Holy Spirit just emphasize to you the very great privilege it is to praise the majesty of the Lord God of heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. May you use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have prayer sheets.